Morning. Good to see all of you. Just real quick, one more announcement. We are bringing back, starting this Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, even though the first Saturday was yesterday, but it'll be this coming Saturday that we're doing. This is an hour of prayer service, Saturday night, 6:30 to 7:30. We're going to do it the first Saturday of each month. Encourage you to, if you want God to move in your life, man, prayer is where it's at. And we believe in the power of prayer. And so join us this Saturday for a prayer service. All right, getting right into it, Johanna asked you to turn to Acts chapter 6 and 7. We're going to be in those chapters today. If you're new with us, we are in a series through the book of Acts. And so I don't know if you've ever gone on vacation or gone somewhere with certain expectations and whether those expectations were high or low expectations, but you gone and they did not, whatever you experienced did not meet those expectations. Anybody ever had that happen where you go and you're like, dude, you get to the resort and you're like, clearly those pamphlets were photoshopped. This is not what I expected. There's like cockroaches running around. You know, I don't know. But it just failed to meet your expectations or you go to an event and it just like, man, they far exceeded your expectations. You walked out of it, you're like, that was all right. That was pretty cool. That's why when I go to movies, I try not to look at reviews or anything like that. I just want to go in with a clean slate. And it's like, so I don't have any expectations. I go in and I walk out. I'm like, yeah, that was pretty good. Then you look at the reviews, like, they said it was terrible. I'm like, oh, I thought it was pretty good. And so I have that clean slate. So, except for like the last three Star Wars, they were just like, dude, they spent how much money on this? But those are the kind of things. So the reason I bring that up is today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and being filled or being full of the Holy Spirit. And when I say that in churches, there's a lot of different mind thoughts or expectations that some people carry in on when you're like, oh, great, he's going to be talking about the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there's some that you're like, it's about time. You know, you're like, bring out the band again, you know, and you're expecting, do they have like the catchers when people fall over? Are there going to be ushers catching? So you have some expectations. You're like, I'm excited about this. We're going to get a little lively here. Then there's some like, dude, this is the first time I brought a friend to church. You're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. They're going to cluck like dogs, bark like chickens, you know, and there's like, you're kind of worried about that. You're wondering what to expect. And some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're just like, you're totally cool with it. And so we have ideas or preconceived ideas of what the being filled with the Holy Spirit is about, what that looks like, because is there an expectation that if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, will I speak in a different language? If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, will I prophesy, or will I have some kind of gift or whatever manifestation that often comes with the Holy Spirit? And those type of things do happen. Some people are filled with the Holy Spirit and they speak in tongues or they prophesy or they're given a gift. Those are gifts that the Holy Spirit does give. It's pretty clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to people. But that's not what this service is about. What I want to talk about is being full of the Holy Spirit, what it looks like, just in the practical sense of every single day, of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so let me just say this right up front. If you've accepted Christ in your life, if you said, yes, man, I received what Jesus did on the cross, I believe in that. I believe that he died for my sins, that I come to him just with my sin, and he's taken that and he's clothed me with righteousness. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. If that's you, then guess what? You are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides within your life, in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit. However, there is also times where the Holy Spirit is like ignited within you, where the Holy Spirit comes out. You're living by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, as we're reading through the book of Acts, Acts 1, Jesus is telling disciples, Christians, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit will enable you to be a witness. You'll be a witness into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other remote parts of the world. And the book of Acts is all about that. It's all about these people, regular people, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to live this out. And so we're in Acts 6 and 7, and up to this point with the book of Acts, the church has primarily been around the Jerusalem, Judea area. All the events have been around there. After today, after 6 and 7, you begin to see that the church now starts to expand, mainly through persecution, to Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world. And what will also be introduced starting today is that the primary character in the book of Acts up until this point has been Peter. Peter's been the main focal point. Now we'll be introduced to a guy named Stephen, Philip, some other guys with some really weird names, and then eventually Saul, who becomes Paul. And so we're going to be looking at that going forward. And so what is taking place in Acts 6 is that the church has really grown to thousands and thousands of people. We know at least, because the Bible tells us, at least there was 5,000 people at this time. There was probably more like 8,000 to 10,000 people, new people, Christians, to the church, out of Judaism and Christians coming to church. That's a lot of people. 10,000 people. It's a lot of people. And so you have really 12 guys, apostles, that were overseeing 10,000 people, and it becomes a little bit overwhelming. And so what we'll see is they start to introduce a strategy, a structure to help meet the needs of people within the church. And so that's what we're going to see. So in Acts 6, look at Acts 6. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have it up here on the screen. It says this. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and says, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip. And these are some hard words. I'm going to just say it with confidence here. Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And if I got any of those things wrong, next week you can preach from here. And then these they set before the apostles and prayed and laid hands upon them. So what they did is the apostles, guys, man, this is a lot of people. There's people whose their daily needs are not being met. We want to meet those needs, but God's called us to prayer and to teaching the word of God. So let's appoint some guys to help us with this. And so they appoint 7 guys to do this. And look at the qualifications. They were full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. So what that is saying is that regular people, regular dudes, I'm going to use out, everybody say regular dudes.
Regular dudes.
Okay, regular dudes. You are a regular dude. So I'm a regular dude. These regular dudes are anointed, they're full of the Holy Spirit, and they're going out to meet the needs of people. And they're doing it in incredible ways that we'll see common, everyday examples of what it looks like to live, regular dudes, to live a life full of the Holy Spirit. And there's a few things that I want to understand here is that we're going to look at mainly this guy named Stephen. Stephen, again, regular dude, full of the Holy Spirit that God uses in an incredible way, that he becomes actually the very first martyr of the church, but God empowers him in a special way that we can have those same gifting, same power, same ability to us. Why? Because we're full of the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you're full of the Holy Spirit. And so this will be available for you. So let's look at it. And it says this. We're going to jump down to verse 8. It says this. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing some great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of freedmen, as it was called, and the Syrians and the Alexandrians, and of those of Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit which he was speaking. So point number one of what it looks like to be full of the Holy Spirit, being full of the Holy Spirit, you will receive spiritual wisdom. When you are walking with Christ, when you're close with Jesus and you're pursuing him, that we say this all the time here at New Life Fellowship, he's the one thing that drives everything. Jesus Christ. We're about him. So if you're wondering, I wonder what this church is about, we're about Jesus Christ. And so he's the one thing that is everything. And we're filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And we found out a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit is God. So the Holy Spirit resides within us. There are times within our lives that supernaturally we are given wisdom where we didn't have that wisdom before. And so the Bible lists all these different people from different areas, from Northern Africa to Asia Minor, all these different areas that are coming around. They were debating Stephen. He says, well, wait a minute. I thought he was just serving tables. He was doing more than that, that God was working through him through signs and wonders, serving people. And all these guys come against him, and they were trying to debate him, and he's filled with the Spirit that they could not stand against him. In fact, we read earlier on in Acts that the religious leaders looked at the apostles and says, they said they were uneducated, ordinary men. Dude, that's me right there. Uneducated, ordinary. But they recognized that they had been with Jesus. When you're with Jesus, things change. Things change. And you're filled with the Spirit of God. And so what this means is this, is that it's not just spiritual stuff that God gives it to you. I want you to understand that. That you're filled with, you're working in your job, whatever job it is, and all of a sudden it just starts to click. You're like, I understand. I get this. I'm in the zone, baby. You know, and too bad Utah State didn't have that last night. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Last night, I know all these. That's it, Martha. We're finding another church. Okay. That's all right. Idaho State. Right, Billy? Yeah. So, all right. But, all right. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. So, all of a sudden you start to understand things. You start to get things, relationships. You have this discernment about it. And it's the Holy Spirit at work in your life in a unique situation, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, it begins to let me give you some examples in history of people who weren't really fully educated, but God, through the Holy Spirit, empowered them to do incredible things. One is Mother Teresa. You ever heard of Mama T? Yeah. Mother Teresa, one of the greatest leaders of all time. I mean, just full of compassion, full of grace, did incredible things. Really, she didn't have much education, very little education, but being filled with the Spirit of God, she was able to reach people and make a difference in the lives of the children in Calcutta. And she just was displayed incredible things in her life. She said, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love." Another person is Sojourner Truth. How many have heard of Sojourner Truth? A couple of you have. Man, you need to find out about Sojourner Truth. So all of us have heard Mother Teresa, but Sojourner Truth, her original name was Isabel. She changed her name to Sojourner Truth because she felt God has called her to sojourn and spread the truth. She was a slave in the early 1800s. She was born in late 1700s, and she was a slave. No education whatsoever. She could not read. She could not write. But God anointed her to speak the gospel, to proclaim the gospel in incredible ways. She had great influence for advocate for women's rights. She displayed great empathy and love for human dignity, justice, and faith. God used Sojourner Truth in incredible, incredible ways. Unable to read, unable to write, yet full of the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon. How many have heard of Charles Spurgeon? Some of you have. Great English preacher in England. Had incredible insight into scripture and knowledge. But really, theologically, he didn't have much education to speak of. But he had tremendous understanding of the Word of God and to proclaim the Word of God. So listen, I'm not saying don't pursue education. So don't walk out of here and say, Pastor Ben says, I don't need to go to school anymore. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying don't limit yourself because you don't have the education. The Holy Spirit can empower you with wisdom to do whatever God's called you to do. And he could work miracles in your life and use you in supernatural ways because the Holy Spirit empowers you to do those things. In everyday life, the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. Number two, being full of the Holy Spirit gives you knowledge of the Word of God. I don't have time to read all of it, but chapter 7 is the longest sermon, a second longest sermon in the entire Bible. The longest sermon is Matthew's 5, 6, and 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, the one Jesus preached. Stephen's sermon is the second longest sermon in the entire Bible, and he goes from like Genesis all the way up. I mean, he is recalling scripture left and right, giving examples of how God intervened with the nation of Israel, how Israel responded positive at first, but fell away. And he was going all the way. I mean, he was going left and right through scripture. And when we read scripture, man, I don't know if about you. Have you ever read scripture and you're like, huh? Ever had that happen? Like, you're like, I'm reading this. And you're like, dude, I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what that says. And it's worse when you read like King James. You're like, double, huh? Huh? And you're like, I don't get this, you know? And so I'm going to give you a little tip, okay, when you're reading the Bible. Always start by saying, Holy Spirit, give me insight into your word. We talk about this every time we read the preach. It says, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And so when you're opening up your Bible, start before you even read, say, Holy Spirit, give me insight into what this says and how it applies to my life. And so the Holy Spirit does that. It gives us insight into the Word of God. And so Stephen, man, he's just a regular dude. And he's preaching the entire Bible to all these people. And everything is going fine until he says this. Verse 51. This is him speaking to the audience. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Dude, that is like my life verse right there. I mean, I'm just kidding. So, but sometimes I want to come up and say, you stiff-necked people, to a different church, not New Life Fellowship. I mean, it's when I'm a guest at Alpine. You know, it's just like, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one whom you now betrayed and murdered. You received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. So he filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, this is not a secret sensitive message. Listen, this message is about you. Quit rejecting the gospel. Quit rejecting the Holy Spirit. Quit rejecting it, which leads to my third point. Being full of the Holy Spirit, you preach with boldness and with power. Man, that takes boldness. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit. He's standing before all these people who have the power to kill him, and they, spoiler alert, they do. And he says, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. He calls them stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in the heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. There's some incredible stories throughout history of people who have expressed boldness and were filled with the Holy Spirit and God used in incredible ways. One of my favorite stories is from Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. And I don't know if you've heard of Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. They were missionaries back in the 50s and 60s. They were in their 20s. This is on the other side. That's Corrie ten Boom. But this is Jim and Elizabeth Elliot right here. And they were missionaries, and they felt God calling them to the Akua tribe, which was an unreached tribe in the Amazon. No, they in this tribe had never allowed an outsider into their compound, into their camp. Never, ever. So Jim and his friends would fly over that area and drop food and supplies into that area. Then they decided, it says, all right, we're going to go down and make contact with the people. And Jim Elliott wrote this in his journal the day before he did this. He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And so Jim and his friends take a boat down the Amazon. They pull up on the bank, and out comes the Akua tribe warriors, and they kill them instantly. Kill them all instantly. And you think, man, what a tragedy. And it was a tragedy. Why did God allow that to happen? They have a calling on their life to reach these people, and they get to the beach, and they're killed instantly. But what's amazing is Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth is now a widow, and she has a little girl at home. The calling was for both of them. She still feels called to this tribe. And so she says, I'm not giving up. And so she makes her way down, and they welcome her in. They couldn't believe that this woman would come into the same area where we just killed her husband. And she becomes friends with this tribe and leads many of them to Jesus Christ, including the very man who killed her husband. And it is said that there's a picture, and I couldn't find it anywhere, but it was said that there's a picture of her cutting the hair of the man who killed her husband. Boldness. What's amazing that Jim and Elliot says, man, I'm going to give my life no matter what. But what's even more amazing is a widow going back and saying, no, there are people who need to know about Jesus. And she's the only way she could do that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. There are people in your life. All of us here have people that don't know Jesus. All of us here. The Holy Spirit will empower you to speak with boldness the Word of God. He'll give you insight. He'll give you opportunity. In fact, there was a gentleman here this morning at the 9 o'clock. He came up to me after service. He says, you won't believe this. He got baptized just a couple weeks ago. And he comes from a very heavy, strong LDS family. And he was nervous of telling his dad that he was baptized. And he shows this picture. He says, I'm going to just do it. And he shows the picture online, because we posted online the pictures. And he shows the picture of him being baptized. And he says, hey, Dad, look at this. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And he says, why did you do that? You can't do that. And he says, at that moment, he says, I just felt how, he goes, I'm not real knowledgeable in the Bible. I'm not really knowledgeable in these things. But all of a sudden, I had the words to speak to my dad. Tell him my testimony. Tell him what God did for me. And I even shared scripture verses that I didn't even know I could share. And he says, my dad looked at me and says, I love you, son, and gave him a big hug. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Number four, being full of the Holy Spirit, you begin to forgive the way Jesus forgave. Going back to the story in Acts, you see Stephen. The people are upset with Stephen because of his message. I mean, you'd be upset too if you called stiff-necked, uncircumcised of the heart people. You killed the God, you know. And look at what it says in verse 54. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged. Listen to this. They were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep or he died. So think of the description that the Bible says here. They were gnashing their teeth, angry with them. And they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began stoned. That is a demonic attack. I mean, that is crazy hatred, demonic attack against this man. But what I want you to see is what he says, and see if they sound familiar. He says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Do you know where that sounds familiar at? Jesus. Jesus said when he was dying on the cross, receive my spirit and Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're able to forgive as the Holy Spirit enables you to forgive like Jesus. You can forgive like Jesus. And listen, I know in this room today, and people watching online, there are some people who have some deep, deep wounds. Deep wounds. Somebody hurt you, abused you, rejected you, lied about you, smeared you, whatever. And you're carrying some heavy, heavy wounds by what that jerk did. And it's hard to forgive them. And the reason why it's hard is because, you know, if I forgive them, I'm going to let them out of this prison I put them in. I'm going to let them off the hook. And I don't want to let them off the hook. But you have to realize that God is the righteous judge. That Jesus, while you were still in your sins, forgave you, loved you. And so it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit working in you that you're able to forgive the person that abused you. And what you're doing is you're not letting them off the hook. You're actually letting yourself off the hook. You're the one that's escaping prison, not them. And so God works in incredible ways through that way. Let me share, close with this story. We had a picture of Corrie Ten Boom. Let's put that there. It's Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you know who that is. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister, Betsy, when they were living in World War II, and they were hiding Jews and Christians in their home from the Nazis. They were discovered, they were captured, and they were put into a Ravensbrück concentration camp. Ravensbrück. And while they were there in this camp, I mean, it was horrendous. You've seen movies, you've seen pictures of those camps. I mean, just absolutely terrible. Death all around them. Abuse all around them. Horrendous. malnutrition, everything was taking place. In fact, at this camp, her sister Betsy died because of the conditions at the camp. Corey was able to survive the camp, and after the war, she began to speak about her story, speak about Christ's love, speak about Christ's forgiveness. And she was speaking in this church in Munich, Germany, about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the service, a man came walking up to her, and immediately she froze because she recognized the man as one of the guards at this camp. One of these guards, same guard who was hurting people, abusing people, destroying people's lives. And he was standing right in front of her. He didn't recognize her, but she recognized him. And he comes up to her and says, "I really enjoyed your message today. I want you to know I was a guard at one of those camps you talked about. But since then, I've given my life to Jesus, and he's forgiven me of my sins, and I'm asking you to forgive me." And he sticks out his hand. And here's this guard who for several years she's witnessed people like him in particular, do all these horrendous things. And he's sticking out his hand asking for forgiveness. And she writes and says, "I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to forgive this man." And so she says, she prayed a prayer, "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And so she sticks out her hand and shook his hand. And she wrote, "Something remarkable happened. She experienced God's love flowing through her to this man. On her own power, on her own strength, it seems impossible to forgive those who have hurt us. It seems impossible to let that go and trust God. And it is impossible with our own power. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say, as Stephen did, as these crazy demonic people are rushing him and killing him, he says, 'Father, forgive them.'" Same words Jesus said while he was on the cross. So I don't know if you're holding some bitterness and anger towards somebody in your life today, and you're having a hard time forgiving that person. You're not letting them off the hook. You're just giving it over to Jesus. And what the Holy Spirit can do in your life by doing that is gives you an incredible power and love in your life. I can't explain it. The Bible calls it a peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain it. But it is only through the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to encourage you today is forgive. Forgive that person and allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life that only He can do. So the Holy Spirit, being full of the Holy Spirit, He grants us wisdom, understanding of God's word, boldness to proclaim the gospel, and the power to forgive. So what I want us to do today, we're going to close with this song. I'm going to invite you to stand. And I'm just going to ask you to pray, "Holy Spirit, come and work in my life." So would you stand with me if you can? We're going to just say a prayer. Real simple. The prayer is this: "Come, Holy Spirit." And when we pray that prayer, just allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that He does. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to just extend your hands like this. It's being open. This, when we do this, we're kind of closed off. This is being open. And on the count of three, would you just say with me, "Come, Holy Spirit." 1, 2, 3. Come, Holy Spirit.